Amen.
Aye.
Feel so very blessed. Amen. Let's go to the Word of the Lord tonight, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to verse 18. And I want to say it's good to have the Bacon family home. We missed y'all, and glad you had a great vacation, but we're glad you're back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate the presence of the Lord that's here tonight. Good to see everybody. Amen. The Bible said when you've done all to stand, it said stand therefore. Put on the whole armor of God. I feel like we've done quite a bit of standing lately. And I've certainly felt the blast of opposition in my face. Amen. But you know what? In spite of everything, we're still standing. And it's about time to quit standing and just start marching. Amen. God's going to open up like a Red Sea. Amen. And it's going to be marvelous. What we shall behold. All I've ever really wanted to see was a true God-sent revival. Untainted by human talents and abilities, the showcase of that. I'm appreciative of what God has brought us to, and I'm thankful for all the talented people among us, but none of that will ever substitute for the anointing of God and the help of. So that's what I want to see. I just want to see God step in and do what God does, which is what no one else can do. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, everybody say, I believe, that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. I don't know what app title to give this tonight. I'm just going to call it rapture. I'm just going to call it rapture. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, the hands of the doomsday clock ticked one moment closer to destruction. The doomsday clock is a clock that was established by the scientific community, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, in 1947, as a way to warn the world of the dangers of nuclear weapons. They set it originally 7 minutes to midnight. It's ticked as close as 2 minutes to midnight. 1991, when the Cold War ceased and the wall fell in Berlin, they turned it back 17 minutes. Now we are once again 5 minutes to midnight. According to the threats we see in the world, I certainly think closer than that. There's a lot of nuclear weapons yet. There are 20,000 nuclear weapons that we know of in the world today. And they could fall at any moment into the hands of terrorists. Only God knows what would happen. We are quickly approaching, folks, according to the signs of the times, the second return of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. No matter what the scoffers say, and the scoffers say, since our fathers fell asleep, my mom and dad believed that, my grandpa and grandma believed that, it has not happened. Let me tell you, it's just about here. Anybody with eyes can see that there's something going on in the world today. Amen. There is a feeling of futility, and everything seems to be fueled by fear all around us. The Bible said one of the signs of the end times is men's hearts would fail them for fear. Another word for fear could be stress. How many ever heard of that word? Amen. It's on everybody's lips. Everybody feels the pressure. Do you know what the word tribulation means? It means pressure. And the Bible said there's going to be great tribulation or great pressure before the Lord comes. Everybody feels that. The church feels pressure. The world feels pressure. The saved and the unsaved, we all feel pressure. The number one taker of lives is heart problems. Much of it brought on by stress. We live in such a stressful age. And it's an exciting time to be alive. I don't want to be negative here tonight, but there is a lot of pressure. Amen. I don't know if you ever get tired, but it seems like I stay that way. I go to bed tired. I wake up tired. And I think it's because of all the pressure that's around us. It's just everywhere we look. Could be because I'm getting old. I don't know. But there's pressure everywhere. It just seems to be the world that you and I are living in and the generation that God chose to match us with. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonican church, there were people in Thessalonica that even they were supposed Christians, many of them Jewish, that did not believe in a resurrection. And so they would tell people when their loved ones died that that's it. It's all over. There's no hope in the future. This is all there is. And I hear people say that today. That this is it. Eat, drink, and eat, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. It's an old doctrine. It's been around for millennia. It's not anything new. We call it today postmodernism. It's not really postmodernism. It's just a new dress. But it's the same old gal. The doctrines have not changed. Paul dealt with it in his time. It lived in Jesus' time. It lived in ages past. It was here in the time of Noah. It's been around for a long, long time. That hopeless existence that denies God and then said there's no hope and there's no resurrection. But Paul wrote to refute that when he spoke to them, saying that they should not be concerned about those that sleep in Jesus. How I love that term. There's a difference in dying and sleeping in Jesus. Amen. For a believer, Whenever they check out of this world, they check into the Hotel Hallelujah. Amen. They just check into the presence of the Lord. Amen. They just go to sleep. And when they open their eyes, they're going to hear a trumpet sound. Hallelujah. They're going to hear a shout from heaven. They're going to hear the shouting of angels. Amen. And as the old songwriter said, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, going to get up out of the ground, because there ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's the hope of the church tonight. Don't you buy in to the siren song of this world and this generation that said it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you why I believe tonight that it's going to happen pretty soon. Amen. I know that there's a lot of reasons, and even secularists today are concerned about things. You know, this old world, it's changing so quickly. I'm amazed at the changes. Did you realize that just in my lifetime, and those of you that are my age and older, do you realize that the world has tripled its population? No wonder they're worried about overcrowded. Brother Bacon, did you see any space when you went out west? Is there any room left out there? Once you leave Fort Worth and head west, there's plenty of room. You're not going to see much till you get to Los Angeles. So these folks that are all worried about no room left, they just need to take a little journey west. Amen. I don't know what else is out there, but there's plenty of room. Amen. So don't get too worried about that. Amen. Now, far as I know, the last time I checked, our government's still paying people not to grow stuff. Because we can grow more than the market can bear. So this idea that there's not going to be any food, so far that's not true. God put enough provision here for a whole lot more than what we've got. Amen. But what I'm trying to do tonight is give you a little bit of reality and a little bit of hope at the same time. Amen. I don't want you to feel hopeless and helpless. I just like to be honest. How about you? You know what I learned a long time ago? That if you could scare people into the kingdom of God, when the scare is over, they won't stay. My, how many times have I seen that? Now, I just think we ought to preach on hell every now and then. And if we do, let's preach it just as hot and real as we know how to preach it. I don't know that I've ever preached on hell when we didn't have full altars. But I've preached people right down to the altar preaching on hell and didn't see them again for 3 months. Soon as the fear lifted, they were gone. In 1988, we had in the month of September, we had Rapture Sunday. Anybody remember Rapture Sunday? Some guy wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming in 1988. People read that book. I mean, they sold hundreds of thousands of them, and everybody got all stirred up. Man, I'm telling you, on Rapture Sunday, the church was packed. We had people we hadn't seen, some I'd never seen in church. But my, they were there getting ready for the rapture. We had a service. We had people pray back through. We had backsliders pray through. We had new people pray through. We had revival Sunday morning. Everybody was excited. Sunday night, we had the house packed out. People worshiping the Lord. The Lord didn't come on the appointed day. Next Sunday, just the faithful. That's why the Bible said, in such a time as you think not, Son of Man coming. It's not going to be in some time when there's a lot of hype. It's going to be in a time just as the Bible said, it was in the days of Noah, it was just another day. Just like any other day. People getting married, people going to work, eating and sleeping and drinking. It's another day. It's like every day. Noah entered into the ark. God shut the door, and the rains began to come. The coming of the Lord's going to be like that. That's why the Bible says that just stay ready. The Scripture says He's coming for those who have made themselves ready. Amen. So just staying ready. That's all you got to do. Amen. Looking for the coming of the Lord. So Paul said that it's coming. And there's nothing's going to stop it. Nobody's going to be able to prevent it. I believe what Paul said. I believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus said, "I'm going, I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back and get you." Now, anybody, you can say what you want to say. Other people can say what they want to say. But I'm going to believe the words of Jesus. You may have more degrees than a thermometer, and that's fine. I'm all for education. But it doesn't matter if you deny the coming of the Lord. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to take His word because He said it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming again. Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21 are parallel portions of Scripture that deal with the very same subject, and that is the second return of Jesus Christ. Jesus was with His disciples one day at the temple, and they were looking at the beauty of it, and it was their glory, it was their pride. It was the pride of the Jewish nation. There was no place on earth like the Jewish temple in the days of Jesus Christ. Herod himself had taken to make it his life's work to beautify the temple. And he spared no expense. And so it was a marvelous, marvelous structure. And as they were sitting there with pride looking at the temple, Jesus shocked them to realization when He said there's going to be a day. He said when there's not going to be one stone left upon another one. Boy, it shocked them to their Jewish toenails. They began to ask questions. He said, "When will these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming?" And they said, "And the end of the world." Surely that would be the end of the world. Three questions. Jesus answers three questions, not just one. First of all, he addresses the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He said, "When you see armies march on Jerusalem," He said, "then you get out of Jerusalem and you flee for your life." He said, "If your stuff's in the house, you leave your stuff and you get out of here." In 70 A.D., a Roman general by the name of Titus with his armies marched against Jerusalem. They encircled the city, and then for some unknown and inexplicable reason, they pulled back. And when they pulled back, the Christians that had listened to the words of Jesus fled the city. And then Titus once again closed the circle and brought siege against the city and conquered the city. Josephus tells us that there were no more trees left in the area because they cut them down and made crosses. And the entire hillside was covered with people on crosses. And they burned the city and they knocked down the walls and they flattened everything that was there. And when Titus left, Jerusalem was a heap of ruins. Just like Jesus said. And you know what? Once Israel went into captivity that time, they were dispersed throughout all of the world, and they never got to go back to Jerusalem as their capital until 1948. What a miracle. I'm telling you, that is an absolute miracle. That Jews lived in countries all around the world, and yet they maintained their separate identity. Amen. They were not acculturated, and they did not blend into the society. Some did, but many of them maintained their Jewish identity. Do you know how they did that? I'll tell you how. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt worship Him with all of your heart, and all of your mind, and all of your soul, and all of your strength, and Him only shalt thou worship. They believed that. They taught their children that. They practiced that. Brother Bacon, you know how this is going to pass to the next generation? Because we teach it, and because we preach it. And that's not enough, because we live it. It's not enough just to preach it. You got to live it. You got to love it. And you got to pass that love on. Amen. But if you love the truth and you raise your children in truth, they'll love truth. Amen. If you love holiness and you raise your children in holiness, they'll love holiness. It's not a drudgery. It's a privilege. Amen. That's how Israel maintained its unique identity for more than 1900 years without a homeland. But in 1948, the Balfour Declaration made Israel a nation one more time. Amen. And I'm telling you, when that happened, a prophetic clock started ticking one more time. Jesus gave us some signs to look for. He said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many." He says, "False prophets shall rise and deceive many." Three times in chapter 24 of Matthew, he warned about religious deception. I read something interesting in a magazine this afternoon that once again told us what we're hearing here is true. In 2009, December the 3rd through December the 10th, there was a group that met in Melbourne, Australia. And it's the Parliament of the World's Religions. 5,000 delegates were there. And the representatives included, but not exclusively to, Shintoism, Hinduism, Jainism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Paganism, Sikhism, Buddhism, and even Australian Aboriginal community. And there were many, many more. All religions coming together under one giant umbrella in the name of peace, diversity, and sustainability. You know who was not invited? Those weird apostolics. You know why we were not invited? Because we wouldn't win anyway. But another thing that Jesus warned about, He said, "You shall be hated among all men for my name's sake." And that's true. Boy, are we seeing that happen in the United States of America in 2012. Amen. It's okay to pray to Buddha. It's okay to pray to Allah. It's okay to pray to the Hindu deities. It's okay to pray to all of the different gods, but just don't call Him Jesus. You can call Him anything else you want to call Him, but don't call Him Jesus, because there's something about that name. The Bible said, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's still salvation in that name, and this church must preach that name with the very last breath that we draw. We cannot let anything prevent us from preaching and baptizing in that name. I know people don't understand why we get emphatic about the name. People don't understand why we love that name so much. It's everything, folks. It's everything. That name is everything. It's the name of God revealed in salvation. It's the name and the only name that can remit sins. There is no other. Buddha did not die for me. Confucius did not die for me. Muhammad did not die for me. Jesus died for me. Muhammad did not rise from his grave. Buddha is not alive. Amen. Confucius, though his sayings and his writings live on, his bones have deteriorated into the sands of time. But I'm telling you, the tomb of Jesus Christ is an empty tomb. Don't look for him on a tomb. Look for him on the throne. Hallelujah. Look for him in the clouds. Amen. Because the Bible said he's coming back. Hey, there's going to be some trouble on the earth. There's going to be some things happen in the end time. He said there's going to be signs in the heavens. Boy, isn't it interesting what's going on right now? You read about astrology and astronomy. It's amazing. They just discover new stuff all the time. Amen. Stuff burns out, and then stuff replaces stuff. And they see this big, huge thing moving toward the earth, and they don't know what it is. I got a feeling it's a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Amen. Prepared as a bride for the church. That's what I believe it is, but you can believe whatever you want to. Amen. It's already on the way, I believe. I believe it's inside of the telescope today. Praise the Lord. It's on its way. Amen. Jesus is getting it ready for that gate getting up morning. Fare you well. Fare you well. Amen. It's not going to be long. Jesus is coming back. And we know that there is going to be a one world government. Amen. Right now we've got a world court. Not just a United States court. We got a world court. Yes, we do. We've got a world order of just about everything you can imagine. It was disturbing to me that during the time that we were attacking our enemies after 9/11, they were all concerned about the world court and about the United Nations and said, "Don't you dare go without their approval." Amen. You know why? Because the mind of men can only think of one thing, and that's globalism. Let's all be one. And the world is looking for such a leader that can lead not just nations, but the entire world. And God already has one waiting in the wings. He's already given him a name. He calls him Antichrist. Amen. He's already got his buddies. One of them's called the False Prophet. It's already being set up. The man of sin is just about ready to be revealed. Amen. The signs of the times are telling us so. And I believe that it's not going to be very long. When Israel became a nation in 1948, it started the clock ticking. Amen. It's been amazing. The very day they were declared a nation, they were attacked by the Arab neighbors that said, we're going to drive them into the sea. And instead, Israel drove back all of their enemies and gained land in the process. Amen. Yes, they did. In 1967, they tried it again, didn't they? They said, we're going to drive them in the sea. And men, I'm telling you what, you talk about it, they increased their size by about 3 times. And ever since then, they've been saying, give us our land back. Give us our land back. Give us our land back. And tried to take it back. They learned their lesson. Every time we attack those folks, we wind up losing stuff. Lots. So now they're begging for it. And Israel has given them a whole lot back. They have. And there's one thing they won't give them back, and that's Jerusalem. They keep saying, no, 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 you got to give us Jerusalem. They said, oh, no. We're not giving that one up again. Not ever. Not ever. Amen. And so Jerusalem stands today under Jewish control and has since 1948. And gets on all the onslaught and all the problems and all the troubles. Israel has had one consistent ally through all of this time. The United States of America has stood with Israel. But under this administration, for the very first time, we have seen cutting of ties and standing against Israel. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous ground to stand on. Because in the last times, the Bible said, nations will be judged according to how they treated Israel. Amen. We're on a slippery slope tonight. We better wake up and turn around and get our eyes open again. We better understand who we're standing with. Amen. When you stand with Israel, God will stand with you. If you stand against Israel, look at history. Every nation that confronted them been destroyed. And this nation will be no different. But the world is howling, and the globalists are howling, oh, but we've all got to come together. We've all got to come together. Amen. And one day they will. They actually will gather nations, all nations, will be gathered against Jerusalem one more time. And when that happens, when all nations march against Jerusalem, the Bible said all of a sudden in the heavens there's going to appear a great leader on a white horse, and out of his mouth is going to go a sharp two-edged sword, which is the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to destroy the enemies of Israel in every direction. And behind that great one on the white horse whose name is Faithful and True will be the resurrected church and the raptured church of Jesus Christ. And He will come and establish His reign on the earth for 1,000 years. I'm telling you, that's coming, folks. But before that happens, there's going to be a little parenthetical event called the rapture. Hallelujah. And when you read the Old Testament, most of the New Testament, you read about where God selected a man by the name of Abraham, and He said, I'm going to bless your seed. And He did, all the way till the time of Jesus Christ, when they crucified Jesus. And then about 12 years into the church age, the church was predominantly Jewish. But then the Gentiles began to swarm in when the door was open. And God put a little parenthesis that He calls the church. Hallelujah. And that time started at the day of Pentecost, and it's going to close with a rapture at the coming of the Lord back to in the clouds for His church. Now I want you to notice, when Jesus, we talk about the second coming of the Lord. That's not the rapture. the second coming of the Lord. He literally comes and sets up a kingdom right here on the earth. And he becomes the king. And we call that the millennial kingdom. For 1,000 years, Satan is locked up in a pit. And Jesus reigns on the earth. And we reign with him. Amen. Amen, Your Majesty. We reign with him. I've been kind of hoping I get Texas. I don't know. Been here this long, I'd kind of like to stay. Who knows? I may wind up, you know, in Greenland or somewhere. Wherever it is, it'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we're going to reign with the Lord. He's coming. He's going to set up a kingdom here. But before that happens, there's an event called the rapture. And there are no signs for the rapture. You can't look at prophecy and say, well, the rapture, we don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen when he comes. But we know that it's going to precede the second coming. We know that. It may precede the second coming by as much as 7 years. I don't know. It may be 3.5 years. I don't know. Praise God. Somebody ask if I'm a pre-millennial person or a post-millennial person. Post-tribulation or pre-tribulation. I'm pan-tribulation. I believe it'll all pan out then. Amen. I've studied all kinds of positions. And I've studied the pre, and for many, many years I was pretty set on that idea, and now I'm pretty much set on a different idea. So, amen. I really kind of feel like, I don't really believe that we'll go through the wrath of God. Amen. I don't believe that. The Bible said the Lord would not pour his wrath out on his bride. There's going to be wrath on the earth. There's going to be tribulation on the earth. There's going to be trouble on the earth. And we may very well see that. You hear me tonight. Don't you think that God wouldn't allow persecution to come against this church? It was born in persecution. All of the apostles died martyrs' deaths with the exception of John. And he certainly suffered sufferings and persecutions. They just couldn't kill him. I'm just saying tonight that God, he's not going to spare us anymore than he spared others. Amen. There are jail cells and prisons tonight around the world that have precious brothers and sisters in them that are in them for no other reason than they're Christians. Tonight, 2012, American church, wake up. You're not some kind of a perfume pretty that God's going to spare you trouble and we're going to live on beds of ease until the end time. We may have trouble before it's all over. Jesus said, they're going to persecute you. He said, they're going to kill you. He said, they're going to hate you for my name's sake. They did the first church. They have through history. Amen. We're no different. But you hear me tonight, and you hear me well. God's grace is sufficient. I've heard people say, Brother Grissom, I don't know if I could make it. You hear me tonight. God's grace is sufficient. If he brings you to it, he will take you through it. He'll not leave you in the middle of the stream. God's grace is sufficient. You ain't seen nothing until you've seen grace. Grace will keep 3 men in the middle of a fire that destroyed the men that threw them in. And all it'll do is burn off the little ropes that they had them tied with. Hallelujah. Grace will keep an apostle in boiling oil. Grace will keep you until God gets ready to take you home. You hear me tonight. When we leave this world, it's not going to be defeat. It's going to be victory. I've never met a person yet that had an out-of-body experience that went to heaven that wanted to come back. I've talked to several people that feel like they went on and they saw heaven and got to be in the presence of the Lord, and every one I've ever talked to said, I did not want to come back. Amen. Where we're going is so much better than where we are. Amen. There's no comparison. Woo! Hey, I'm talking about hope here tonight. Praise God. The church has hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. The rapture of the church. I don't know exactly, but before Jesus returns to the earth, it's going to be. One of our greatest indications is the nation of Israel. There are some interesting things that have taken place there. The Bible teaches us Revelation and Ezekiel that the temple is going to be rebuilt again in Jerusalem. And daily sacrifices are going to resume. The temple has not yet been rebuilt. I don't know, but I've read reports that the stones are cut and it's ready to assemble. Amen. And I do know this. There's a group called the Friends of the Temple, and they have made all of the instruments. The trumpets are ready. And all the vessels are ready. All they're waiting for. There's one thing that they're really working. In 1997, there was a Pentecostal brother over in Mississippi. And Jews came all the way over to his farm and bought some red cows, some red heifers. They said, there's got to be a red heifer before they can cleanse the altar and remove the stain of the years and resume sacrifices. But it's got to be a perfect sacrifice. It has to have all red hair. It cannot have not one hair that's not red. So they bought the cows and they were red. And for about 3 years, and all of a sudden he grew a white hair. And they rejected it. I just would have plucked that buddy up. But they're serious about this. Could it be the Lord's mercy? Just saying, well, a little longer. A little longer. The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. So, He's given us every chance we can, but I'm just simply saying that's what's got to happen, and it's almost ready now. Everything's Amen. And I've read very soon they got a whole herd of red cows now. And I promise you, one of these days is going to be all red. And they're going to say, that's the buddy we've been waiting for right there. And it's going to come together. Praise the Lord. Amen. But before that happens, this church is going to disappear. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. He said, we shall not all sleep or all die, is what he said. He said, but we shall, everybody say, all be changed. Amen. He said, for in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. By say together. I like that. I get excited when I think about the rapture. I get a little weird when I think about the rapture. You know, one thing that bothers me about organ transplants is the rapture. If you got somebody's eyeball that's a Christian, it's coming out of there. Amen. If you got somebody's heart and somebody's kidney and it don't belong to you, it's coming out of there. Amen. If there's some bodies that got made into some bricks in some tall building somewhere, it's coming out of there. Amen. Everything's going to come down. They're coming from the sea, and they're coming from the sand, and they're coming from the earth. Wherever it is, bodies are going to be reassembled. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we're going to be caught away. The word rapture means snatched up quickly and violently. Amen. It's going to happen just like that. Amen. And the church is out of here. Whoop! Somebody said, well, I'm going to hitch a ride. You ain't going to grab that quick. And if you could, you couldn't hold on with that velocity. Amen. It's going to be over that soon. Now, how do I know this? I want you to notice the difference. Jesus comes back to the earth, but when he talks about the rapture here, especially in Thessalonians, he said, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, or snatched away, or raptured. The Greek word means caught up, Greek word is caught up. The Latin word that we translate from that is rapture. And we're going to be raptured out of here with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Amen. And then the Bible says that we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Notice that, in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. Amen. You talk about there's an airplane ride and there's a plain air ride. We're going to go on a plain air ride. Amen. We're gonna meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. In the clouds. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank God. Amen. Things going to be happening up there. Stuff going to be happening down here. But I want to be up there. Because what's happening up there is going to be glorious. And what's going to be happening down here is going to be painful. I don't like pain. Amen. So we're getting out of here, folks. I'm talking to you about a rapture. The Bible said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. We're getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. Getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of earth. Amen. Keeping my record. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Said, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. I'm keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Just keeping my record right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. I'm going to see Jesus soon. You know what I think? I think we need to start singing songs about heaven. But I tell you what, this youth choir, they did an awesome job tonight. So, so beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is here is one of my favorite songs, especially when they do it. I just feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, we need to sing some songs about heaven. We need to revive. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. 'Cause just one glimpse of Him in glory
will the toils of life repay. So when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. So onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. And soon the pearly gates will open, and we shall tread on streets of gold. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, let us sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He has prepared for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, and while we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when our traveling days are all over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. What a when we all see Jesus. Oh, we'll sing and shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Cause just one glimpse of Him in glory will all the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Cause just one glimpse of Jesus up in glory will the toils of life repay. So when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We will sing and shout the victory. Oh, we will sing and shout the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe heaven's going to be better than this. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, if heaven's just a dream, let me dream on. Amen. Praise God. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm real happy tonight, and I'm very confident in what I believe. Amen. This is not just pie in the sky business by and by. But I believe God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe He had a plan. I don't believe God just start a clock a ticking and then step back and forget. Amen. I don't believe God created man, amen, and left him to his own devices. Amen. But I believe God's been involved with mankind from the beginning. Amen. And God's always had a people. God's always had a people. I'm glad I'm one of them. How about you? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't going to do another song. Amen. Let's do this one. Heaven's Jubilee. How about that one? Anybody like that song? Amen. This songbook says four flats, whatever that means. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. Oh, what rejoicing there will be when the saints arrive. Heaven for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, oh, that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet that blessed Savior in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change of them to be. All the living saints arise to that jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Oh, and with all of that heavenly host, we began to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, where then we shall be. Praising Christ, praise His Lord, heaven's jubilee. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes. Yes, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. And oh, I want to see Him. I want to look upon His face, up there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, just let me lift my voice with my cares all past. Home at last, ever to rejoice. know I want to see him look up on his face. There to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, just let me lift my voice. Carry the past home and let heaven to rejoice. And as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary till the crimson flows. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win. And oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares go past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me life. Satan snares me, vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. But my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betides. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, then sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my board, he does save the key. And he leads me gently on through this old world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Well, amen. I believe in heaven. It's just as real. It's more real. The Bible said, for the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. So heaven is more real than anything you can see. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to go there? Amen. Praise God. Well, it's a long journey. It's been a long journey. It's almost there. Amen. God bless you. Thank you tonight. It's been a beautiful service. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. The presence of the Lord. Remember, ladies' meeting Tuesday, church Wednesday night, and then Friday and Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We will be blessed to have Brother and Sister Blackshire here, and we're going to look forward to them being here. I believe God's going to do some good stuff. You don't want to miss a service, because you'll miss something good. Amen. All right. God bless you. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'm
mercy. I need your grace. I need your hand leading the way. I can't make it without you. Not for one day. 'Cause I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your hand leading the way. I can't make it without you. Not for one day. 'Cause I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your hand guiding the way. Can't make it without you. Not for one day. 'Cause I need your mercy. And I need your grace.
the youth, we have a meeting in the ladies' prayer room. See you there.